This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley. The New Hampshire Supreme Court is hearing arguments today in a case that's the latest in a decades-long debate over whether the state pays enough for public education. Multiple New Hampshire school districts are suing the state for not meeting its constitutional obligation to fund an adequate education for all students. Natalie LaFlemme is one of the attorneys representing districts who support the lawsuit, and she joins us on the phone now to talk more about the case. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you first explain what this case means in the context of this long, drawn-out battle that's between public schools and the state?
Sure. So as you correctly said, this is a long, long battle. The first Claremont decision, that the first time the court declared this constitutional right, came out in 1993, just for reference for everybody. And more or less, people have been fighting about it ever since. So this recent lawsuit, as you said, was brought by four school districts in the southwestern part of the state. Our amicus brief represents 26 other school districts throughout the state. We have big districts, small districts, regional districts, rural, urban. And it really just shows not only how long this has been happening, but that it affects so many people in the state, and a really diverse number of districts.
And of course, it always hinges on this definition of an adequate education. And again, to be clear, you're not arguing in front of the Supreme Court today, but as you said, you're filing a brief on behalf of additional districts who say the state's current funding formula is unconstitutional. What essentially is the argument?
So the argument that the petitioners made, theirs was a little more focused on themselves in a way. So they argued that the state owed them a certain amount of money. Because of their definition of adequate education, they left out a number of important factors that their districts had to pay for, specifically transportation, building costs, school nurses, superintendent. So their argument to the trial court was the state is not funding all of these categories that go into an adequate education. They owe us money. And the trial court ended up looking at the statute. The court said this is unconstitutional, it's irrational, doesn't make any sense. It clearly doesn't meet an adequate number. But the state has appealed that. And so we, the amicus, have come in and have just said the trial court was absolutely right. And the other issue at play here, besides adequate education, is about taxing fairly. So to fund that adequate education, we rely on property taxes. And another constitutional obligation of the state is to fund those proportionally, to tax proportionately. So our brief really focuses a lot on that issue, which the trial court didn't reach. And we also back up the petitioners and say, on the adequacy argument, they're right, the court's right, this is completely irrational and unconstitutional.
As you said, the districts say it costs way more than the state pays to cover the cost of providing what they deem a constitutionally adequate education. What do they say is the actual price tag the state should be paying?
So the way it works is the state sets a number, they call it the base adequacy grant. And right now, that's about $3,700 per student per year. And then the state also gives differentiated aid, so extra money for how many students are on free and reduced lunch, which is a measure of poverty, how many are English language learners, how many are in special ed. So they get a little more money for those. But even overall, the state basically pays $4,500 per student per year to the district. The average cost in the state for one pupil per year is about $16,000, $17,000. And that's right around where the petitioners are. So the petitioners are arguing, you're only paying about a third of our actual cost. And there's no way that that small amount of money would fund an adequate education. And the state argues, yes, that is adequate. School districts might be paying more, but they're choosing to add more aspects to their schools that are above and beyond adequate.
And again, a district's ability to be able to do that would really depend on local property taxes.
Exactly. And specifically, how much property value is in their district. And so on average, there's about $1.1 million of property value per student. So that's the property that you are able to tax to fund one student's education. But this varies wildly. As you can imagine, different districts have different property values, different features. So on one end of the scale, you have a town like Moultonboro that has over $7 million of property that it can tax for each student. On the lower end, you have a place like Berlin that has about $370,000 of property value to get their education taxes from. That's it. And in general, a lot of these districts can't raise the same amount of money, so they end up funding their schools a less amount per pupil.
Now, you grew up in Berlin, didn't you?
I did.
Well, how did the debate play out in your school in Berlin?
So I don't know how aware people are of the issue. Like, obviously, everyone knows the taxes are high, and that always comes up every year when the city council debates the budget. But I think people don't have an awareness necessarily of how disproportionate it is across the state. And I think that's something that's starting to get in people's minds now. But I do like pointing out, just for perspective, that the first Claremont decision came out when I was pre-kindergarten. And now I am several years out of law school, and we're having the exact same arguments, the same issues are at play, and the state hasn't really done anything. So I think that this is going to start playing out differently in towns, that people are putting more pressure on the state. They're starting to realize, hey, it's not our fault necessarily that our taxes are so high. We're working from such a small property value, and the way the state has chosen to fund schools really puts us at a huge disadvantage. And I think everyone's always intuitively known that, but now it's kind of really coming out in the numbers, and people are talking about it a lot more.
Natalie LaFlamme is representing the school districts suing New Hampshire over how it funds education. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
You can find more of our education coverage, by the way, at nhpr.org, and you're listening to Morning Edition from NHPR.